Good morning. How are we doing? Packed house. You guys didn't hear I was preaching, did you? Man, this is amazing. It's so good to be here. A lot has happened since I was here last a few months ago. My wife and I had our baby. More specifically, Rachel had the baby, 8 pounds, 1 ounce, 21 inches long. He's growing already. He's huge. He's going to be a monster, hopefully. But man, he is something else. And I'm really tired. If I come across as a little extra slow today, if I don't follow my notes as well, if you see these giant bags under my eyes, just know that I used to sleep a lot, like 8 to 10 hours almost every night. I was like a rock, and now we're still adjusting. We're still adjusting, and I had the stomach flu early this week. So it's been a joy in my house just with vomit, my vomit and my baby's vomit, and so we're hanging in there, but we're doing all right. But I have got to say, church, you have been so generous to Rachel and myself and baby Judah. That's his name, Judah James Rutherford. And we've received more gifts than we can count. I mean, we are basically a Costco when it comes to diapers. We have not purchased a diaper yet, and hopefully we don't have to for a long time. We set up a meal train. Actually, the church set up a meal train for us. Our children's director, Lisa Barham, did that. And a lot of you brought food to our front door and sent us like food gift cards. And we did not cook. We did not do a dish for 4 weeks. And I just have to say thank you so much. That was a huge blessing to Rachel and myself. So thank you, Cross City, just for your generosity for me and my family. Thank you so much. But the last time I was here, at the beginning of the year, we challenged you to grab a Bible reading plan and to read the Bible throughout the year. Who is going strong in their Bible reading plans? Anyone? Anyone willing to admit that they're going strong? Who is not going as strong? That's okay. That's okay. It's never too late to start. It's never too late to grab a plan, grab the YouVersion Bible app on your phone or tablet, and just start reading the Bible. After next week, we'll be 25% of the way through. And so just keep going strong with that. But I'm happy to be here. We're continuing our John series. This is message 27 in this series, and we are still in chapter 8. It's going to be a long while before we get through this book, but I'm just happy to help progress us through these next few chapters. And as always, it's an honor and privilege to be here. I have to thank my father, Brent, and the team for giving me this opportunity. But I'm going to pray. We're going to get into it. Let's bow our heads. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you've done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do, God. I just pray that you use me this morning. Speak through me, God, your words, not mine. We love you and praise you. In your name, amen. Before we dive into the verses today, I have a question that I have to ask, and it's going to seem pretty deep, pretty quick. Do you feel like our world is dark? I just kind of feel like our world is kind of covered in this layer of darkness. There's a lot going on that just doesn't seem right, doesn't sit right. And I'm not talking about gas prices. We live in a day and age where things are backwards. Things are upside down. Things are messed up. People are messed up. People's thoughts and ideas are messed up. And if I read the news app on my phone or on my iPad, I feel like there's just so many articles of bad things, dark things happening in the world. Spouses abusing spouses, hurting or killing their children. Boyfriends going on road trips with their girlfriends, murdering them and themselves. I mean, there's a war raging on just a few thousand miles away. People are starving. Thank God for things like Convoy of Hope that we can donate to help kind of feed people. But there's about 690 million people who are still starving each and every day. Racism is all over. Sexism is all over. Pandemics, sickness, cancer, it's here to stay. Full-grown men can now compete against women in swimming championships and win, and people can applaud that. There's a law that's trying to be passed on the East Coast that says you can terminate a baby up to 28 days after birth. We live in a dark world. We live in a dark place. Darkness rules and reigns. And Satan, known as the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air, he's running rampant. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the god of this age, that's Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Our world is a dark place. And some of us are living in darkness. Maybe not literal darkness, but maybe it's spiritual darkness. Maybe we're living in sin. Satan can blind the mind of unbelievers, but what about those who do believe? What about the followers of Christ? What about those of us who are in church right now or watching online? What about the people who are reading their Bible each and every day throughout the year? Surely we cannot live in darkness, right? Well, unfortunately, even though we have Jesus, we still have sin. We still have some darkness in our lives that is just living inside of us, and we need to expose the darkness. 1 John 1, 8 through 9 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So for those who have Jesus, yet still have sin, we still have darkness, we can't claim to be perfect, we can't claim to be without sin, but we can confess our sin, we can expose the sin, we can expose the darkness, and we will be forgiven. But we still fall short. There's still darkness within each and every one of us. And so my question again is, what kind of darkness do we partake in? What kind of areas are we struggling with? Maybe for some of us, it's greed, and we're just trying to gather and grasp and accumulate. Maybe for some, it's envy. We just want what we cannot have. Maybe for some of us, it's anger. I'll be honest, I have found myself more angry than normal. The dirty diapers, the crying, and I'm not even talking about the baby. But really, adding an infant into my life has, like, my fuse has been cut. It's pretty short right now. And I find myself taking my anger out on my wife and my family and my friends, and that's not okay. Maybe for some of us, it's lust. Our darkness comes in the form of sexual temptation. Maybe for some of us, it's pride. Like, you've never been wrong, and you cannot see otherwise, and the world revolves around you, but no one in here is prideful. I get that. But the list could go on, obviously. But the point is, no matter if you follow Jesus or if you do not follow Jesus, there is some kind of darkness residing within each and every one of us that we need to expose. We need to bring to light. And yes, we have God's grace. And yes, we have God's love. And we have God's forgiveness. But that does not give us the freedom to continue on sinning. Matthew 5:48 says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. We have to strive to be like Christ. What dark area in our lives needs to be exposed? Well, these verses in John chapter 8, verses 12 through 30 are hopefully going to shine some light, pun intended, on this matter. So we're going to read half. We're going to read 12 through 20, talk about it, and then 21 through 30. Sound good? If you have your Bibles, John chapter 8, starting in verse 12, this is what it says. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And the Pharisees challenged him. Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. And then Jesus says, in your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself, and my other witness is the Father who sent me. And then they're confused. They ask him, where is your Father? Where is he? If he's going to testify on your behalf, where is he? Show us. You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put, yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. John 8:12, the first part of the verse, Jesus, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people. When Jesus spoke again to the people. Now, before we go any further, we need to remember where Jesus is speaking to the people. And if you were here 2 weeks ago in John 7, where was Jesus? He's at the Festival of Tabernacles. 2 weeks ago, Dad taught on this and the living water, the spring of water, right? And so Jesus, he comes to the festival a little late. His disciples and his brothers are like, hey, we're going to go up there. And he's like, nah, there's people trying to kill me. Just you go on without me and I'll meet you there. So Jesus kind of sneaks up in secret and he addresses the people at the festival. There's three festivals that the Jewish people had to go to each and every year. It was the Passover, the Festival of Weeks or Pentecost, and the Festival of Tabernacles or the Booths. But why did they do this? What were they celebrating? What were they doing? Well, it functioned as a response to God's blessings in the past and anticipation of God's future blessings. And so Jesus is at this festival of tabernacles, of booths, that would have been kind of popped up all around Jerusalem. These temporary shelters that, one, they needed to provide shelter for the pilgrims, the thousands and thousands of Jewish people who had to journey to Jerusalem for the festival, but the booths were also associated with the Israelites during their wilderness journey. If you remember, thousands of years before this, hundreds of years, the slaves in Egypt have been set free, right? And they go on a journey for 40 years in the wilderness to get to the promised land. Well, they would have set up these tents. They would have set up these shacks during their wilderness journey. And so the people who were attending the festival presently would have been staying in the shelter, but the shelter would have been a reminder of their ancestors. Great-great-grandma and great-great-grandpa stayed in these shelters. And so they would have been thinking about this, praising God for the past blessings and praising God for the anticipation of the future blessings. And then in verse 20, it says, he spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put, that's known as the treasury. And the treasury was also in what's called the court of the women. And so at the temple, there was different parts that you could go to. And so the court of the women or the treasury was this great big public area. It would have been crowded. There would have been all kinds of people there. And in the court of the women, near the treasury where this is taking place, what would happen at each night of the festival, the priests would get up on these giant ladders. They would fill these giant kind of vats of oil, these candelabras, these giant kind of lantern-like things, and they would light them on fire. And there would be this light shining all throughout Jerusalem. Historians say that most of the city would be lit at night due to these candelabras. And then Jesus says, he gets up in front of the light, in front of the courtyard, with the booths are on their mind, the ancestors are on their mind. And he says, I am the light of the world. I just kind of imagine him like almost triumphantly saying, do you see all this light? Yeah, I am the light of the world. When the festival is done, these lights will be extinguished, but I will never be extinguished. The city is lit up. People are praising God. People are dancing. People are singing. And he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And if you remember, 26 messages ago, our first message in this John series, John starts off his gospel with these five verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. But verse 4, it says, in him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. And now Jesus is saying, whoever follows him will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And to follow the light, which is Christ, means to trust. It means to obey him. It means to believe in him. And out of the gratitude in our hearts, keep and follow his commands. We must follow where the light leads. We do not have the privilege to map out our own course. We have to follow the light. But these Jewish people, if you remember, their minds at the feast, their minds would have been on their ancestors in the wilderness. Like they would have been thinking about, God, you provided a way. And you're going to continue to provide a way. But how did God provide a way, literally, to the Jewish people in the wilderness? A cloud of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night. Jesus would have been connecting a lot of dots when he says, I am the light of the world. Which leads me to point number one in your notes. Jesus gives us light to overcome darkness. Jesus gives us light to overcome darkness. Whether it was the Israelites in the wilderness, the Jewish people at the festival, or us today, no matter what kind of darkness we have in our lives, because of Jesus's love and his power and his mercy, we can overcome that darkness. But will you allow the light of Christ to shine in you and through you? Will you allow the light of Jesus Christ to guide you? Will you allow the light of Jesus to expose your darkness? We got to continue. Verses 13 through 20. The Jewish mob, the mafia, the Pharisees, they challenged Jesus. And they say, you are appearing as your own witness. Nothing you say can be true, because in their culture, they needed two or more witnesses to testify for something to be true, for someone else to believe you. You couldn't simply say, well, I saw that happen. You needed two people to say, I saw that happen. You need two people to confirm the truth. Deuteronomy 17:6 says, on the testimony of two or three witnesses, two or three or more, a person is to be put to death. But no one is to be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. Deuteronomy 19:15 says, one witness is not enough to convict anyone accused of any crime or offense they may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three or more witnesses. And Jesus responds to them. And he's saying that God is testifying on my behalf because he sent me. He sent me here, therefore he is testifying on my behalf. And he says, if you truly knew God like you claimed you do, then you would also know me. But you don't. You don't know God, and you don't know me. And in those verses, Jesus said, I'm not here to pass judgment. In John 3:17 through 18, he says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only son. Which leads us to the second portion of our scripture today, John 8:21 through 30. It says this, once more, Jesus said to them, again, he's teaching, the light is shining behind him. He says, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And now he says, I'm going away. You will look for me and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. And this made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below. I'm from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he. You will indeed die in your sins. But remember, John 3:18, we just read it. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already. And then they ask, who are you? Who are you? Just what I've been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy. And what I have heard from him, I tell the world. They did not understand. He was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me. For I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. So there's a lot going on yet again. If you do not believe, you will die in your sins. In other words, if you do not accept Jesus' light, you will die in your darkness. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my, let's try it again. The Lord is my, and my, the Lord is my, and my. Jesus is offering these people an alternative. He's saying, if you believed who I claim to be, I've been telling you from the beginning, but if you believed in me, you would have light and you would have life. But we know how this ends up, and Jesus knows how this ends up. In verse 21, he says, I'm going away. And this Jewish mob, they jokingly mock him. And they're like, you're going to kill yourself? You're going to commit suicide? Where are you going? What's going on? And Jesus says, you cannot go where I'm going because you do not believe. You do not accept my testimony. You reject me as the Messiah. You do not know God, and therefore you do not know me, and you will die in your sins. And to try to connect some more dots, he says, when you have lifted me up, when you have lifted me up, you will know that I am he. But the he in that verse was added. It should read, you will know that I am. I am. I am. I am. Why does that sound familiar? Well, who remembers way back in the Old Testament? Moses meets God face to face in the form of a burning bush. What does he say? He says, who are you? And the bush replies, I am who I am. I am God. I am the one true God. Jesus is claiming 100% equality with God, which in these people's ears and minds would have been blasphemy, which would have been a criminal act punishable by death. Jesus knew where he was going, and he says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, in just a few short chapters, when you kill me, when you put me up on the cross, when you literally lift me up, you will know that I am he, the one I have claimed to be. You will know that I was and am the Messiah. Even though I've been telling you from the beginning, you didn't want to learn, you didn't want to know, you didn't want to accept me or my testimony, you do not have the light. You had darkness, you had sin, and you had death. And in a few short weeks, we get to celebrate Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, his lifting up, but also his coming back. 1 John 1:5-7 says this, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Leads me to point number 2 in your notes. Jesus gives us life to conquer death. Jesus gives us life to conquer death. Because of his death on the cross, he not only gives us light, but he gives us life. Life to conquer our death, our spiritual death. Because we will either die in our sins like the unrighteous mafia members, or we will die in the Lord. And if you have Christ, he has given you life. No matter what kind of darkness is within you, no matter what kind of darkness is residing inside of you, whether it's a little bit or a lot of bit, we still have the light. Do you have the light? Do you have the life? Because here's the thing. The amount of people who believe that hell is real outnumbers the amount of people who actually believe they will end up there. Because there's only two options. You will either die in your sins or you will die in the Lord. Everyone dies. And you will either die in your sin or you will die in the Lord. The Pharisees had a choice and they decided to decline Jesus' offer and invitation. I hope we don't do the same. Your name is on the guest list or it is not. You can't stroll up to heaven and have a friend sneak you in the back. There's no second plan. There's no second option. There's no, oh, security's not looking this way. Come on. No, it doesn't work like that. You either die in your sin or you die in the Lord. And one would think that sinners lost in the darkness would flock to the light like a bug sees a bug zapper. Okay? They see the light. You think that, oh, there's the light. I want to get to the light. But the people love the darkness that ensnares them. So what do we do? What do you do? What do I do? We take the light that Jesus gives us to overcome darkness, and we take the life that Jesus gives us to overcome death. And point number three, we reflect the light and life of Jesus to those around us. We reflect the light and life of Jesus to those around us. Jesus said he is the light of the world, but he also says that we are the light of the world. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says this, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." We have to shine his light. We have to reflect his light. People are living in darkness. People are going to die in their sins unless we do something about it. People are going to go to hell unless they see, feel, and accept the light and life that Jesus has to offer. And one of the ways that we get to help Jesus fulfill his mission and his purpose is by being his hands and by being his feet, being an extension of himself, reflecting his life and his light to the people around us. We don't accept Christ and get the light and then hide. We got to glow. We got to shine. We got to reflect his light. Last night, I was sharing this little fact about the moon. And I was way too old to know when I first found this out that the moon does not actually have its own light. It's just a giant space rock, right? But the moon shines because it reflects the light of the sun. Maybe you didn't know this. A couple people came up to me last night and they're like, "I didn't know about the moon either." The moon is just a rock. The sun is just this giant gassy ball of light and chemicals and things I can't pronounce. But it reflects off the moon. The moon reflects the sun. That's our job. That's our role. We are to reflect the light and life of the Son of God. In a dark world, how can we reflect the light and life of Jesus to those around us? Have we forgotten about the darkness that is in each and every one of us? And because of that darkness, we fail to reflect his light in his life properly. How can we better reflect Jesus to the people around us? For starters, if you don't have the light, if you don't have the life, if you don't have Christ, you need to make a commitment to Jesus today. You need to come to him and say, I'm living in darkness. You cannot reflect the light if you do not have the light. And so if that's you, in a few moments, you're going to have an opportunity when we stand and we sing, you can come down to the front and you can say, God, I've lived in darkness for too long. I've lived in sin for too long. I've been messing up. I feel guilty. My lifestyle isn't right. The way I treat people is not godly, and I'm done with that. I'm tired of that. I want your light, and I want your life, and I want to reflect that. If that's you, you can do that in a few moments. Others of you, though, we've been following Jesus. We've made that decision in our past, but yet there's still some darkness creeping and seeping out of us. We have to rid ourselves of the darkness and reflect the light, but how? Matthew 5:16 said, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. If you want to get rid of the darkness, glorify God with your good deeds, not your evil deeds, not your dark deeds, your good deeds. And don't be confused. Salvation does not come from good deeds. Salvation comes in believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who died for your sins, who rose again on your behalf. But darkness is dispelled with each good deed. Imagine if you lived each and every day reflecting the light of Christ. Imagine if every word that you said lifted someone up instead of tore them down. Imagine if every thought that you had was God honoring. Imagine if every action that you took was God inspired, not me inspired or we inspired or you inspired. What would happen? What would happen if you were reflecting the light so well? You know those, if you ever have an eye surgery or you can't see it and you have those big goggles? We'd all be wearing those because the light would be reflecting so hardcore all over the place. The world would be a bright place, not a dark place. A place filled with God's light and God's life and God's love. Go and reflect his light today. If you need to make any decision, if you need to accept that light that Christ gives, if you need to be baptized, if you need prayer, if you need anything at all, we're going to have a team of people down here in the front, and you can make that decision today, and you can go and reflect his light and his life. Let's stand and let's sing.